रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. अयोध्या चैप्टर नंबर 36. मिनिस्टर सिद्धार्थ रिब्यूक्स कैकेयी. द रेसिटेशन स्टार्ट्स नाउ. Finding that Kaikeyi paid not the slightest heed to the well-meant advice of Sumitra, the king was overcome with grief at the thought of his unwitting boons to Kaikeyi and their terrible consequences. He turned to his faithful ministers amidst a storm of tears and sighs and cried, "Order our armies, chariot, elephant, horses, and foot to go with Rama wherever he goes. Let such high-bred courtesans go with the troops as steal away the hearts of men by the beauty, words, and acts. Let also merchant princes, the masters of millions, send along with the troops such as depend on Rama, also those with whom he spends his leisure in testing their prowess and skill with every convenience and comfort their heart could desire. Let diverse weapons and countless vats of oil, ghee, and other household items filled follow him to the woods, while foresters and hunters, famed for woodland skill, clear the path. He shall hunt lion and elephant, tiger and boar, and drink the fast-flowing honey, bathe in many a holy stream and rivulet, and put away from his mind his kingdom and his concerns. Let my wealth of gold and corn be dispatched to where goes Rama. Alas, how could my darling boy, delicately nurtured, fare in the wild forests, untrod by the foot of man? He shall have a happy life of it there in the company of saintly sages and holy hermits, and perform countless yajnas in each pure spot, with ample largesse given. Bharata, the thrice fortunate, shall reign over Ayodhya in pomp and glory, and my darling son Rama shall depart to the woods in royal style." Kaikeyi heard this, and mighty fear held her heart in its relentless grip. Terror tied her trembling tongue. Her face lost its color and freshness. With a heavy heart and bloodless cheeks, she turned to Dasharatha and cried, "Ideal king, and so Bharata is to receive from you an empty realm, while the people, the troops, the wealth and corn, the treasure and all that goes to make life worth living goes with Rama? Even as one who tastes the light foam and life of a heavenly drink and hands over to his best friend the lees and dregs, all dull and dead? Good sir, kindly save yourself the trouble. The noble gift had better be with the noble giver." And she spat her venom at him, while the cruel words hissed forth from between her set teeth. Untouched by shame, abandoned to all finer and nobler feelings, she pierced the heart of her too confiding husband with her barbed tongue. But the poor old king could but wring his hands in despair and wail plaintively, "Crueler than the venomed fangs of the deadly cobra, I sink under the crushing load of grief and misery, and you, tiger-hearted, spur and goad me to death. Godly boons I gave you and got in return the curses of every object in creation by consenting to exile Rama to the woods and crown Bharata instead. Wretch, see you not that I am fulfilling your diabolical purpose to the very letter? Why torture me further?" Then Kaikeyi turned upon him with a withering contempt and said with a cruel smile, "Pray enlighten my ignorance. I see not how I cause you any pain or the least discomfort. Look here, I but pray you fulfill me the promises made by you of yore, all voluntarily, out of a grateful heart. Do I ask any favor of you? Speak the truth, righteous king." "Base-minded wretch," said Dasharatha, "you ought to have anticipated all this and secured your boons accordingly. Why didn't you specify that I am not to send away from the kingdom its people and its wealth? You but want this realm for your precious son. Take it and stop at that. You weren't clever enough to perceive the turn the affair would take, and now not all your howlings, your tears, and your curses could divert the consequences. The unwonted wrath of the weak and the uxorious king roused the slumbering fury of Kaikeyi. Man, this to me, You do well, noble monarch, to boast of your high lineage and spotless fame to me. Know I not the worthy traditions of your line? Your ancestor, Sagara, of happy memory, drove his firstborn son, Asamanjas, out of his kingdom alone and unpitied. Rama deserves nothing better at your hands. Nay, it is so beautifully consistent with the royal traditions of the progeny of Ikshvaku. I should have defined the terms of my boons, is it? I believe it is open to me to do so now or at any time. Know you of any limitation thereto? Dasharatha could but stare at her in wonder and fear. Alas, said he to himself, is this a woman I see before me, or some cruel fiend broken loose from hell? Basely did she dupe me to grant her boons and swear it by the most solemn oaths. She made me soil my hands with the most frightful and hideous crimes, and not content with that, she would wring from me now conditions never dreamt of before. A storm of anger shook him to his very depths and cried, Fie! Fie! Silence! Enough! Everyone there hung his head in shame and sorrow, but Kaikeyi, bold and wicked, heeded it not in the least. Then Siddhartha, a wise and faithful counselor of Dasharatha, was inflamed with ire at the shameless words and fiendish wickedness of the favorite queen of the king. The snows of age lay heavy upon his head, replete with the hoarded wisdom of ages. Dasharatha held himself proud to honor him highly, for his utter candor and straight speech won the heart of the king. The cruel taunt flung at Rama was too much for him, and he cried. Asamanjas, the cruel, laid his hands on the children as they played on the streets, flung them into the foaming flood of Sarayu, and clapped his hands in glee as he watched their frantic struggles for life. The citizens, one and all, were furiously incensed against him and said to Sagara, Lord, if we have the welfare of this realm at heart, choose well. Drive forth your son Asamanjas from your dominions or witness our departure to other countries. And to them replied Sagara, well, what is the matter? What have you to fear? Then people said, your firstborn Asamanjas is afflicted with a homicidal mania. He lays his hands on our children as they play in the streets, casts them in the roaring waters of the Sarayu, and laughs at their death throes and the bubbles that rise up as they sink. Sagara bowed to their wish and banished his son Asamanjas, his wife, and his people from his kingdom forever. Asamanjas atoned for his heinous sin by leading a homeless life in the forests and the mountains with spade and basket, hoe and axe. Now what crime, what sin do you impute to Rama? Why would you banish him to the woods? The furthest reaches of our memory show not any fault, any blot, any stain with which we could connect with his name. Easier task it were to discover a foul blot or a dark stain in the resplendent queen of night. Let be, Rama might be guilty of some secret sin or dark vice. We know it not. Perhaps your keen eye might have perceived to the depths of his heart and brought it to light. If so, let us know. Rama shall be driven out of the kingdom this very moment, and you will have won our profound gratitude for all time. But if one walks upon the path of the righteous and carefully refrains from causing harm or evil to his fellow beings, it is but suicide to abandon him basely. It is a wanton and unholy defiance upon the great Dharma. Be he gifted with strength, the valor, and the splendor of the Lord of the Shining Ones, he would be but a heap of ashes should he lend himself to such fiendish cruelty. Would you lay yourself open to eternal infamy and have the world point its finger of scorn at you? And so he tried by many a skillful argument, by many a persuasive appeal to her pride, vanity, and self-interest, to dissuade her from her fell purpose. Dasharatha was convinced beyond any doubt that she would never heed the good counsel of the wise man. Overwhelming grief choked his voice as he cried, Sinful wretch, Siddhartha's golden words find no favor with you and grate on your ears. unless you see not what would conduce to the ultimate good and happiness of your husband, who confided in you all too well. Let me know you what tends to your good. Base counsel and baser act come easy to you. You have nothing in common with the good and the great in thought, word, or deed. I put away from me this kingdom, its wealth, its pomp and luxury, and go with Rama. May Emperor Bharata rule over this realm long and happily with you to share its power and confidence. Mangalam Kushalendraya Ahaniya Gunavte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.